How's it going? Something looks different about you.
That's because I'm all about the gold this week. I went on a... My tax return came back, and I treated myself.
And he can't help himself.
Aziz Ansari said it best, treat yourself. So I treated myself to some gold to go along with my IC and my current WWE title. There's two things that I needed, though, to complete the collection.
The European title?
No. The big gold belt, proudly worn by Sting, Ric Flair, and the greatest WCW champion of all time.
David Arquette?
Lex Luger. I like how Lex Luger gets a bigger laugh than David Arquette. Jesus, sorry, narcissist. And also...
I enjoyed you as a child. I was all about the Lex Express.
Not me. I was Bret Hart all the way. I was like, nah! Bret's got to win it. And then the greatest title belt of all times. Finally own it. The Winged Eagle.
I know. That's the one that makes me really jealous.
I know, right?
You son but of a... Actually, these are the two that make me the most jealous.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I was just going to buy the Winged Eagle, but it's like... But to complete the little, like, setup I want to do with the Winged Eagle IC title and the WCW title, which, technically, this is the World Heavyweight title. It's not the WCW one. Because the only one that they have currently on the website that's WCW is the NWO spray-painted one.
Well, the biggest difference is that.
Yeah, the WWE thing.
That's the biggest difference.
But, yeah, so it's like, I had to get them both at the same time. So I was like, I got the money. Can't take it with me. Might as well.
Well, you can get buried with these.
I didn't even think about that.
Well,
we know Sean's not going to bury me with them. He's going to take them for himself. Selfish little boy.
I'll try to steal one back for you. If I'm still alive.
Bullshit, you throw... I'm wearing this belt to the grave.
No, I'll still steal one back for you, and I'll throw it in the in the coffin.
And I want to be buried in Shawn Michaels' WrestleMania 12 tights with the chainmail.
I don't know how well I can make that happen, but okay.
I'm going to outlive you, so you can't do nothing about it. We know it's true. I have a better diet than you.
I'd rather live happy than healthy.
Yeah, I'd rather live a long time because I don't know what's coming afterwards.
The ripe old age of 40.
Yeah. So anyways, welcome to, what's the show called, Sayson?
Armbar!
Yeah, where we're the only show that breaks down both WWE shows in one podcast. So you don't have to watch 2 hours of us a week. Well, you do have to watch 2 hours a week if you like us because we have a video game podcast.
Yes.
But we like to condense, we don't like to ramble on, though there are... There are other I know you're not going to edit that out. That's
nope.
Okay. There are other podcasts that I enjoy that do each show, like the Stephen Larson podcast, Going in Raw.
Oh, yeah. It's
good. Love their podcast. That's probably my favorite wrestling.
I actually need to subscribe to that. Do they have an audio version?
Yeah, they're on all of them except for, which is the hard one to get on? Is that Google Play, Spotify?
Google Play is a real hard one to get on for
some reason.
It's
probably Google Play that they're not on. So listen to them, too, for more in-depth stuff, but... Come to us for it in bite-sized pieces that are easy to swallow once a week.
Yes.
So anyways, we're going to start off. We're going to actually not talk about WWE because this is, you know, this is WWE folks. We'll go outside there. We're going to talk about the Hardys. The Broken Hardys.
TNA was going to try to fuck
TNA
with them.
Is fucking with the Broken Hardy brand. What they're doing is Anthem, the parent company of TNA, has sent out a cease and desist letter to not Ring of Honor, mind you, but all the companies carrying Ring of Honor pay-per-views with the Broken Hardys on there.
Really?
So, Dish Network dropped the Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
Dish, come on,
the next
man.
One coming up because of the threat from Anthem. And that led Matt Hardy's wife to go on a Twitter tirade towards TNA and stuff like that. And now the Hardys have a basically a Fuck TNA t-shirt out. And you get like a free 8x10 if you order it. In fact, I'll try to remember for tomorrow. I'll put the link in the description to order that shirt if you want.
You know
want
what
it.
The biggest FTNA is? It's WWE's current roster.
I was going to say, it's just the fact that TNA had all these great stars that they were cultivating and never did much with.
They literally pulled a WCW, except worse.
No.
Worse
than WCW. Because WCW like had Flair, they had Sting, they had Luger that they promoted.
They had these guys that they were building up, and then once... Free agents started coming from the WWE. They're like, oh, screw these guys.
We'll shelve them.
Yeah, like look at who's on top right now. You have AJ Styles. You have
Joe.
You got Austin Aries.
Rick Rude. Bobby Rude.
Bobby
My
Rude.
Boy, Bobby
yeah,
Rude.
Bobby Rude. These were like four pillars of the...
It's just...
Of TNA.
And you wanted to promote guys like Scott Steiner.
Who is super bitter and has a really weird Sacred Heart tattoo on his chest.
I've never gotten the appeal of Scott Steiner. He was big and muscular, but his mic work sucked. Unless he was shooting. Then he was just a dick, though.
Mm-hmm.
And he was never that good in the ring.
I really only liked him as part of the Steiner Brothers.
Yeah, when him and his brother were a tag team, yeah. I liked them both. Yeah,
exactly. And then, but they didn't talk. That was the other thing.
Yeah, they were just a really cool tag team.
He's had Rick Steiner going, hoo, hoo, hoo.
Yeah, they were American Alpha 1.0.
Yes.
And we'll get to American Alpha soon, how they're being buried. But yeah, so the Hardys are in dispute with that. Matt said he came up with it. TNA is like, no, we had writers help develop it, blah, 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 blah.
Hmm.
You know what I would do if I was in this situation just to clear it up and get rid of it? I would, if I was the Hardys, I'd license it out and saying, hey, you can use the Broken Hardy thing for DVDs and stuff like that going forward. Anything you did in TNA, you can use. That's fine. But we keep the trademark going forward, so you don't get any of it, like, if we sign with the WWE. Because that is probably what, if anything, prevents the Hardys from joining the WWE by Mania.
Mm-hmm.
It's that. Because the WWE lawyers, they're going to look at this and say, like, they're going to say one of two things. Either, oh, shit, we don't want to get involved with this. We're going to let this all settle before we do anything. Or TNA has no leg to stand on. We'll sign the Hardys and we'll back them in this.
Yeah.
So it's one of two outcomes. So if TNA does have some claim to the Broken Hardys, then I can see that the WWE will back off until the dust settles.
Because
they don't want to get into a legal dispute.
Yeah.
Which is why we have the club and the Balor Club and not the Bullet Club. Because they don't want to deal with that. They want to own the properties.
Yeah.
So.
Though I wish they would just license that.
So. That'd be great.
That'd be nice. Though I could deal with the Balor
Club. I can see why the WWE doesn't license the Bullet Club, because you got the Bullet Club in New Japan, you got the Bullet Club in Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have the Bullet Club in WWE, that makes it look like the WWE's been infiltrated, and it's not their storyline infiltration.
Yeah, and they don't like cross-pollinization. They tend to not like talking about other companies, though they do reference stuff now.
Unless they have a stake in the other companies, like what they did with ECW when Vince gave Heyman that loan, and he could use ECW guys, and he'd loan ECW.
What
WWE
about
guys.
When they had the talent swap back in the 90s when they had a couple matches with guys from USWA?
I don't remember that.
It was 2 weeks before they did the ECW thing.
Okay. So, that all might have blended in.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or
I don't know how that
works. Or
did
it make a big enough impact on me for me to...
I feel like he was, like, giving these guys just, like, a little bit of exposure just to, you know, help them out a little bit. I don't know what the deal was with that, but I remember...
Well,
because,
trust me, Vince is not going to do anything for free, so...
No. He did
there
something...
There was something in it for Vince.
Yeah, there was something in it for Vince. I don't know exactly what the details were, but they did this with
Which, by the way,
USWA.
Holding both these belts, I feel like Ric Flair... Since he brought this belt to the WWE.
You should.
And then he won this belt shortly thereafter.
Yeah. Actually, the funny thing is with the USWA matches, that's the first time I saw Brian Christopher.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But I... That...
Jerry Lawler, sorry.
Yeah, well.
So that's the latest on the Broken Hardys. I'm going to say we will not see them by Mania.
Oh, no. I think
the soonest we'll see them is the Raw post-Mania.
Really? That soon?
I said that's the soonest we'll see them. Because, remember, the post-Raw and probably SmackDown now since it's gone live and it's the next night.
Yeah.
Those shows are for the hardcore fans. Like, the WWE knows it. They're like, this is for the hardcore fans. We're just going to give them what they want.
Because
if you look back on the past, I don't know, 5 post-Raw Manias, it's all about what we, the older crowd, wants and not... And they throw storyline pretty much out the window. Like, we'll have some WrestleMania, like, backlash with certain things, but for the most part, storyline goes out the window that one night, and we get the stuff we want to see as the internet wrestling community.
Yeah.
Who I backlash against a lot, but that's okay. So, moving on to Raw. This was probably one of the best Raws we've had in a while, which was good because it's a week after Fastlane. Fastlane was very disappointing as we covered.
You don't have to get that name right.
Yeah. In our recap last week. But what I really liked about this Raw was Dana Brooke turning on Charlotte.
I was, you know, it was funny. I didn't know there was a way to make me like Dana Brooke, but the fact that she finally turned.
She whooped the shit out of Charlotte.
Yeah.
A couple of those times I was like,
those are stiff as fuck.
Is she shooting? Because, damn. It's like, she, and when Charlotte tried to escape, she had her,
she's like, no, you get back in here.
Oh my lord.
Man.
It was brilliant. Dana, you impressed me. Kudos.
Yeah.
because I know my opinion means a lot to you.
You're no longer in the negative. You're in the black.
This is kind of a preview to a little segment we're going to do each week at the end where we're going to give post-mania theories. So this is going to start this off. We're going to go in deep with post-mania theories at the end of the podcast. But right now, I'm going to cover it now. I think this is telling us that Charlotte's not going to win the belt back at Mania. So it's going to either be Bayley or Sasha, because I think they're going to feud going into the summer.
I think so.
So I think this is going to be a Dana Brooke, Charlotte Flair feud going forward. Probably, I would say, culminating at SummerSlam. Because I like what they're doing now with one pay-per-view a month, whether it's SmackDown or Raw. So that gives storylines a chance to breathe. So we're not, like, having matches, the same matches every month.
Like it felt like, oh, man, there was a pay-per-view last week. Oh, shit, there's a pay-per-view this week. Yeah, that was getting exhausting.
Exactly. So I'm so glad that they've switched to the one. So I think the Dana Brooke Charlotte thing, maybe not last till SummerSlam, because SummerSlam is in August, but it's gonna be a good three pay-per-views, maybe. So that we got that flip forward.
Maybe was it June?
June maybe will be the blow-off, but
yeah,
we'll get a good rivalry out of that, and maybe Charlotte will, or not Charlotte, but Dana will improve in the ring and become a big player in the women's division on Raw, because I like Bayley being in there, but I'm tired of the Sasha Charlotte dynamic.
Yeah,
I think we need some new blood.
We definitely need some new blood, and the fact that they're you know, giving Dana this opportunity gives her a chance to really, you know, shine. Hopefully, I already like what they've done so far.
Yeah,
and it's only been the first night.
Exactly. So that's pretty good. So going in next, we're gonna cover Sami Zayn, Y2J versus Samoa Joe and KO. By the way, I love the new KO Mania 2 shirt. I like how he's continued that from last year. They just used the WrestleMania 2.
I saw that he had a new one. I just didn't see what it was.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Like, nice, okay.
But it's the first time we got to see Jericho back on TV since he got his ass whooped last month by KO. And
back in action.
Yeah. So him and Sammy won via DQ, but then him and Sammy got their ass handed to him by Joe. And So this makes Joe look really strong. It makes KO look really strong. And it fuels the rivalry between KO and Jericho. And there's a lot of rumors that Sammy and Joe are going to have a match at Mania, because Seth Rollins might be healthy enough to where he's going to face Triple H, which we'll get to towards the end of our Raw recap. So we got a good thing going in there, but some sad news for Sammy, and I hope that's why I was hoping he would get fired by Mick Foley at the end of Raw, is that he's going to get pushed down the card, because with Finn Balor coming back, Jericho becoming a face, and things like that, that he's going to get pushed to the lower mid-card.
Well, I mean, how long is Jericho going to be around? He's got to go tour with Fozzy.
He'll probably be around until SummerSlam.
Really?
Yeah. That's usually when he takes a break.
I would have thought he was going to be gone within the next month or two after Mania.
And we'll see if he retains the title at Mania. Because that's one of the few matches at Mania. I'm not quite sure where it's going to go yet. Because Jericho deserves to go over on KO. But then again, Jericho also went over on AJ last year. That was a big one for Jericho.
Yeah.
Though I feel him putting over Fandango means he should, like, continue winning WrestleMania until he retires. So maybe he can approach Undertaker Street. It's like of all the gimmicks to put over, it was Fandango. Which, no offense to Fandango, I like the man. The gimmick sucks, and they've done nothing with it to give him that big of a win on Mania.
That's so sad to me.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's like, you're going to give a guy that big of a win at Mania over a Hall of Famer like Jericho.
Yeah, future Hall of Famer
like Jericho. You gotta fucking do something with that. I don't even think Fandango's held a belt. Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up. Because at the very least, he should have gotten the U.S. title.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, they did nothing with that.
Bring back the hardcore title.
I feel the Fashion Police should win the WWE Tag Team title.
Yeah, at least give him a tag title.
Because the Fashion Police are the only thing that I like about
them. They need to switch it back to the black shirts, though. They look like captains.
No, I love the white. I love the white. In fact, they need to switch to pink. They just need to keep changing up colors. So every couple of weeks, new colors. Go teal green.
Oh, man. Hurts my eyes. Yeah.
So speaking of the tag team division, we're going to talk about the Raw tag team division. We had a number one contenders match, Enzo and Cass versus Cesaro and Sheamus, which I always hate when tag teams don't have a name, because then I have to say everyone's name out.
Yeah.
So let's get a name for those guys.
All of those guys.
Yeah. We'll call it the Irish-Swiss connection, and annoying and big guy.
Annoying and big guy.
But they fought to a no contest because the club came down and beat the shit out of both of them. So Mick Foley made a... I thought it's a triple threat match, but I think he said four-way match, but Mick has got a little messed up there, so he might have just meant a triple threat match, because I don't think... I can't think of another team that would be involved in this match.
Not on Raw, anyway.
Yeah, so I think it's just going to be a triple threat match. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll throw the Golden Truth in there.
Oh, that's right, they are on
Raw. That would be great. And let them win the tag titles.
Yeah!
No one expects the Golden Truth.
What's up?
Yeah. What's up? What's up?
Oh, goodness.
What's up?
What's up? Ah! You spit all over me, that's you right. bastard.
I got all the gold.
I hate you.
So, yeah, so we had that. So we had Mick Foley. He was pissed, too, and he was all over the club. It was great. Just yelling at him, screaming at him, be mean Foley.
Mean Foley.
Mean Foley, which he needs to get mean because we're about to talk about why he should be mean. Mm-hmm. And again, this carries over from last week and the week before, why the McMahons got to treat Foley like shit. Because I know it's storyline, and like Steph was just recently on Up, Up, Down, Down for their million subscriber special.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to go find that.
She has a superpower, which I'll get into in a second.
Okay.
And she's a sweet lady in real life. Like, she is the sweetest. Like, you watch, like, her on the Today Show or doing charity events and things like that. The sweetest lady. But God, is her character such a bitch. And it's just the way she was
that
berating
good
Mick
at her
Foley. I know.
Character that she
Maybe she should be in a WWE Studios film. Because she is night and day what she is in real life. But she was just berating Mick, just giving him the business, just being a total bitch. And then he fired her, which I guess he can't do. And
so random.
And Triple H came out and they had a little thing and just badmouth Foley, put Sako on.
Which, that was a nice little hit of nostalgia there.
Yeah, it was. And then, of course, Triple H beat the shit out of him.
Of course, because he can't do anything anymore. Because,
goddamn, Triple H is some kind of shape. Oh, when he ripped that shirt off,
I was
like, that man.
Jeez!
He ain't been in that kind of shape since he came back from the quad injury and robbed the Royal
First
Rumble.
Or second? Which one was that? Was the second one?
The one where he won the Rumble and beat Jericho for the undefeated title.
Oh, yeah.
Undefeated title.
That was, I think that was the second one.
Yeah. So he just came back all kinds of jacked. God, man, that man just... I'm running shows and I'm lifting weights. But I guess when you're not on the road all the time, because...
I hear that they fly back home after every Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and they train. They don't go right to sleep.
Well, I know. That's what Vince does, too, because...
Yeah. 2 o'clock in the morning, Vince McMahon's in the gym.
Vince doesn't go on the road. Like, the house shows are done by the agents, like Michael Hayes and Arn Anderson.
Yeah,
they run the house shows, which is why they get away with wacky shit at the house shows. Yeah. Vince ain't there.
Vince don't care, probably.
Yeah, I think Vince is only at the house shows that are near Connecticut. Because Vince is at WWE headquarters.
Oh, yeah.
With the exception of, like, Mondays. So I'm not sure if Vince at SmackDown.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I know he's at every Raw and at every pay-per-view, but I don't know if he's at SmackDown, which is probably why SmackDown's the better show.
I mean, given how it's booked, yeah, he's probably not at that show.
Yeah, so, but yeah, so Vince flies back to Connecticut every night and stuff like that. And I'm sure Steph and Hunter, or Paul, are on WWE 1 with him, so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he came beating around, and Seth Rollins came out with the slowest run-in ever, just hobbling up there. And then throws away the crutch.
I knew he was going to do that, too. When I saw it, I was like, he's going to throw away that crutch.
I'll tell you one thing. If
I thought he was going to rip off that knee brace, too.
Yeah, if him and Triple H do have a match at Mania, and I'm going to predict right now he goes over Triple H. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the pop when he hits the pedigree on Triple H? That's going to be one of the loudest Mania pops since Hogan and Rock.
Oh, man.
That's going to be a huge
pop.
Yeah,
that's going to be gigantic.
So he comes out and starts beating on Triple H, but Triple H gets a hold of the crutch and starts beating on him. And that's how we ended Raw with Trip. I was really hoping for Finn to run out because Finn was at Raw. Mm-hmm. I was really hoping Finn would run out for the save, but I'm not sure what they're going to do with Finn.
I was going to just bring that up. I'm like, what do you think they're going to do with him?
Well, some people are saying Finn and Joe at Mania. Which they need to start doing something. When Raw airs next week, we're going to be 13 days to Mania.
To quote their one of their old theme songs, "Tonight is the night."
I thought you were going to say to quote the Raven, "Nevermore."
No, they need. Yeah, like this week was the week they needed to start doing that. If they don't do it next week, I don't think it's going to happen unless it's just like one of those things where Joe squashes Sammy. And then he's like, "Is there nobody else in that fucking locker room?" And then Finn Balor comes out.
Yeah. Actually, that would be really cool.
Actually, that would be pretty
cool. If Joe squashed Sammy at Mania.
Yeah.
And then Joe calls somebody out, and then we get the demon music.
Oh, man. That would actually be sweet.
We don't see Finn enter. He pulls a Sting. Lights go out, and he's right behind Joe. Hits him with a Pele kick or something.
Mm-hmm.
Sets him up for the coup de grace. Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
That would be pretty sweet.
That'd actually be badass.
Yeah.
That'd be Again, Vince. Sweet. That's from me and him to you for free.
Do it.
I'm never going to get hired by WWE Creative because I keep giving them all. I'll tell you one thing, though. If I ever start seeing my ideas appear on WWE TV, I'm going to get pissed. Those motherfuckers are stealing from me!
Didn't you know Linda McMahon watches your our podcast?
Yep. We're very popular amongst the McMahons.
Yeah.
Like I said.
And Linda's a local now.
If I ever met Vince, he'd either love me or hate me. Because I respect the man from here to eternity, but if I ever, like, worked for him, he told me an idea and I thought it was bad, like, Vince, that's a terrible idea.
In the right circumstances, you could probably end up being the new JR.
Exactly. And then get fired later.
Or set on fire by Kane.
That's all right. I don't have to kiss his ass. That's one thing I wouldn't do. I need you to kiss my ass, TV. I'll quit, Vince. I'm not
quitting. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that.
I have too much pride, and I don't care that much about this business.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually probably one of the best Raws we've had in a while. That was actually... And it didn't seem to drag...
Yeah.
At all, and when we got to the end, I was like, "Whoa, we're already at the end!" And Raw hasn't done that for me in a while. So.
That reminds me. Actually, I did get a chance to watch Shawn Michaels and Roman Reigns that segment. And
oh, that's right, I forgot to write that.
Yeah,
down.
That segment. It was a lot better than I thought it was.
Yeah,
gonna be.
that was a pretty good segment. And actually, I got to give it up to Roman Reigns because when Shawn was doing his talks, like you could see Roman like giving respect, like when Shawn came out, did his little mm-hmm. pose, stuff like that. But the best part, I don't know why I didn't put this on the board. The best part about that segment, though, was when Braun Strowman came out.
Bodied the hell out of him.
Dude, that was ragdoll physics. Like, I was actually concerned for Roman being hurt in real life because he went off the stage.
And he hit a bunch of
and
shit.
And he landed awkwardly.
He landed on a bunch of shit.
Which
Lights,
means,
scaffolding.
I'm not sure if Roman was 100% expecting what was about to happen. Like, he probably knew Braun was coming out, but maybe Braun was a little early.
I think it's just one of those things that Braun was a little overzealous, and
yeah.
He is a former power lifter. He just didn't know his own strength.
Yeah.
Boom!
And then he yelled at Shawn, and you're like, oh,
I don't that was my favorite part. I was like, he's like, if I wanted you, I'd come get you!
Yeah. I'm retired.
Oh, Braun. I enjoy him.
I love Braun.
Oh,
he's
man.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's just getting, every day, he's just getting better.
Yeah, a little bit at a time, getting better and better. It's a
That's
slow
what you gotta
push,
do.
Yeah.
Slow burn.
So I have to wonder, like, Braun doesn't... Well, he's probably gonna win the Andre the Giant at Mania.
Probably.
But he's not done with
then
Roman,
then he's gonna
so,
eat that statue.
Yeah, he's not done with Roman, so is he gonna
See,
be,
that's the confusing
thing. We gotta save that for Mania's theories.
Yeah, that's the confusing thing.
So that's the end of Raw. So moving into SmackDown, this is gonna be a very heavy AJ Styles review. First, we start off SmackDown with AJ calling out SmackDown brass. Just
yeah.
Pissed off. And it was a very... He's supposed to be a heel, but that was a very face promo.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just talking about how he got screwed over. Because he jumped through every hoop they wanted him to jump through. And he did it. And he should be the number one contender.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how he put it, just because Randy burned someone's house down. Which, again, how is Randy not the heel in all this? He burnt a man's house down.
It's called...
And desecrated... And desecrated his dead sister's body.
Well, Josh, you met the man. You know why.
He's a nice guy. I like Randy. He's nice.
That's why.
I've never really cared for his character, but he's a stand-up guy.
He has moments where I do enjoy his character. Those are few and far between.
I really liked him as a Wyatt, and now that that's over, I'm probably not going to like him again.
Mm.
But that was a good run for Randy. It's a good run as a Wyatt.
Yeah.
So AJ called out the brass, and no one came out, and he was waiting for Shane. And he was doing an interview with Renee Young backstage, and Shane got there and he starts beating on Shane, throws him through a car window. And shame on you, Renee, for not standing up for Shane. How dare you? You could have smacked him. If you smack him half as hard as you smacked Maurice.
Was it Renee or was it that other
girl?
Oh,
I'm sorry. Renee, when you smacked, you could have smacked him as hard as you smacked The Miz. Just stop that right there. She didn't.
Yeah, I can't remember. I thought that was the other girl that was back there.
It was Renee.
Was it Renee? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But that was a pretty nice beatdown. And then Daniel Bryan seemingly fired AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And later Shane came out and challenged AJ. He's like, you ain't got a match at Mania? Now you got one. which I'm still disappointed.
I was really hoping they
pull the swerve and we get one more match from Daniel Bryan, and it'd be Daniel Bryan and AJ.
That'd be nice.
Because no offense to Shane, I feel that's wasting AJ on a Mania match.
I still think it'd be a good match, though.
It probably will. Yeah. I mean,
it's not the main event. Shane puts in the work.
Like, one of my favorite matches of all time is him versus Angle at King of the Ring.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, if this was AJ 5 years ago coming to the WWE, I'd be fine with this match. But AJ's in his late 30s. He's got a finite number of manias left.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste them on things that aren't main event caliber.
Yeah.
Like, him and Jericho was one of the best matches of last year's Mania.
Oh, yeah.
I would dare say my favorite match of last year's Mania was the ladder match for the IC title.
Mm, yeah.
Because that had a lot of great spots, had a lot of good moves, and the ending was surprising, which I always love for Mania.
Oh, yeah.
And the crowd, like, just, I love when Zack Ryder gets those moments, because, with the exception of his rise to internet fame, Zack Ryder always holds a special place in a lot of the fans' hearts. Where when he gets those moments, we go nuts. Like when we were at Tribute for the Troops.
Yeah.
Well, it was SmackDown and Tribute for the Troops.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
then
Mojo won that tag team battle royal.
Oh, yeah. The crowd popped so loud for Zack.
I always love when Zack gets those moments because he's never going to be WWE champion.
And then Mojo
And he might not ever get the IC title again.
Yeah.
But we, the fans, know those big moments for Zack are few and far between, and we don't waste them.
Oh, yeah.
We get loud for Zack Ryder, so.
Like Mojo, we get hype.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but
get hype, bro!
Outside of that, my favorite match of the night was AJ and Jericho.
Yeah, I can easily say that.
It was a great match, with a surprise ending, because I think everybody thought AJ was going to win that match. And he went for the phenomenal forearm, which turned into a phenomenal codebreaker, which ended that one.
Yeah.
So that's the only way you could end that match, was like a super move, because I think they both kicked out of each other's specials.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a great match. So then we move on to the Randy Orton calling Bray out. Bray was back at his burnt down shack, and he bathed in Sister Abigail's ashes, which it's always weird to see a man bathing in ashes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying he has all of Sister Abigail's power now. And I still don't know who's supposed to be the heel in this, because, like I said, Randy burnt a man's house down.
Yeah.
That's heelish. That is a heel move.
But Bray Wyatt is the current face of Fear. So.
Yeah, but I think the fans are more behind Bray.
And probably.
That's another match where, like, my head tells me Randy's going to go over in that match. But I think Bray might still have the title
afterwards.
See,
the thing about that, though, I think what you got going on there is with Mania, traditionally there is a new champion out of the Royal Rumble winner, so you might have that going for you. But there's been times where the title has not changed hands. I realize that more often than I'm probably giving credit to, but you know, traditionally,
two years ago the Rumble winner didn't win. It was the Money in the Bank winner who came out with the championship.
That's very true. There are some surprises, and then usually when the championship doesn't change hands, that is kind of a surprise sometimes, because normally the fans just expect that to happen.
Yeah, but you got to think the Universal title's changing hands. I imagine both women's belts might change hands. So you can't have every belt change
hands. Oh, yeah, I get that. So it's still one of those things where it remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But I get what you're going for.
We're
going
to have to get to the build-up. And then we close the show with the main event of the Usos beating American Alpha. Who I don't know what the WWE are doing with. They're a good team, but they don't have much charisma.
No.
The Usos are on fire right now.
They are. Which
reminds me, when AJ beat up Shane, they had the Usos of all the heels that have like skull chains. Like,
man,
aren't you guys targeting body parts and jumping people from behind?
Yeah. I like how they're like, man, you can't be grunting around doing that stuff. Like,
hello, what? Pot. Here's kettle.
Exactly. And then I liked how if you notice, Heath Slater was in the same locker room on the other side of AJ. He didn't say nothing. He was just shaking his head.
He should have been like, he fucked me out of a contract for like 2 months before I should have got one.
Good job, AJ. Yeah.
That would have been a great move for Heath. Just like see, like, AJ, between me and you and that camera that's obviously in our face, but I'm going to pretend it's not there. Thanks for beating the shit out of that dude, because he took away my contract when I earned it, because I called him Stephanie because I was concussed.
Yeah.
Thank you. That dickhead deserved it. He's concussed now for getting his head thrown through a window.
That would have been funny if he
did. That would have been great. That was a missed opportunity, which is why I should be the head writer of the WWE. So we're going to move on to what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks is post-Mania theories, what we think is going to happen after WrestleMania. And this is nothing we have written down. So we're going to kind of spitball this. As we said at the top of the show, I think Dana Brooke is going to feud with Charlotte. Charlotte's not going to win the women's title. We're going to see a Dana-Charlotte feud going through the summer.
Yeah.
Maybe culminating at SummerSlam, maybe before. But we're going to get like two pay-per-views at least out of that. I think we're going to have the Broken Hardy show up on Raw the next night. I don't think they'll be at Mania. I think they'll show up at the next one. I think AJ is going to go to Raw. I don't know if he's going to be drafted or just leave SmackDown after Mania. But it'd be a good move. And with him going to Raw, that creates a vacuum at the top of SmackDown if they don't get anybody new.
Yeah.
So hopefully, with everything they're doing with Dolph Ziggler, he can move up at least.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what they're doing with Dolph.
That's just a
count out loss to Mojo Rawley.
That's just really confusing now. Yeah. I don't know.
Because we're going to need, because, again, like I said, I think Bray's still the heel. So we have one heel at the top. And we've got Cena's probably taking a break after Mania.
Yeah, I think he's taking a break to film another movie coming.
Yeah, so we're going to have Bray and Randy at the top. I think Baron Corbin might be our IC title coming out of there. And I think him and Dean are going to continue to feud.
Probably.
I don't know what they're going to do with The Miz. Shoot, maybe have The Miz and Dolph team up.
Maybe.
I still like my idea of Baron and Dolph teaming up as like Shawn Michaels Diesel 2.0. I think that could really work. Or shoot.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there any situation that you can even think of where you would accept Miz being pushed back up to the main event?
The right feud, and I don't think Randy Orton's the right feud.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that's
either. I think the Miz, he's at his best when he has the right person to work with. I don't think, because Randy doesn't have enough charisma, I think, to work with the Miz. Dolph Ziggler is a good one for him to feud with. AJ Styles and John Cena, as far as anybody who's on the SmackDown roster. And I think him and Bray might have a pretty interesting feud if Bray retains and is a face. Because The Miz doesn't work as a face.
No, not at all. He needs to be a heel, and so, I'm fine with him as a heel.
Yeah, and I think The Miz works great with Dean Ambrose, too. So it's just Miz needs the right guy to work with to be effective. Because he needs someone to be able to counter him, because Miz is pretty good at bullying people with his promos. So if he doesn't have anybody who can counter him, like word for word, like Randy can beat the shit out of him all he wants.
Oh, yeah.
But Randy is not going to cut a good enough promo against The Miz to get me excited for a feud. But Dolph, we've seen, can do it. Dean can do it. John Cena obviously can do it.
Yeah.
Because that, you might not be The Undertaker, but if you keep pressing me, you're going to be a dead man.
Yeah.
Might be the best response that I've seen on WWE TV since John Cena ripped The Rock for having shit written down on his hand. So The Miz definitely needs someone who can counter him blow by blow. So it all depends. We'll have to see how the roster shake out. But I don't want to see The Miz in the title picture unless he has the right opponent.
Yeah.
The right person to feud with.
All right.
But, you know, I was also kind of thinking this, which would be kind of a decent faction, and there are three good friends anyways. The Miz, Ziggler, Ryder. Because you could have Ryder come back and just being pissed off that every time he gets a push, he gets squashed and he gets pushed back down the card.
Easy way to turn him into
heel is you could have these three guys working together, just they're frustrated, they're pissed off, forming a faction. That's how some of the best factions work. If you look at The Rock when he took over the Nation of Domination, they were just guys who were just frustrated with their point on the card.
Though I have to point this out because it's popped in my head though. You just described the faction known as the Union. But the people that you named would work better than those guys that were thrown together that were fired from the corporation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these three guys could work as a Nexus slash Bullet Club slash NWO kind of faction, to where two of them have been WWE champions. One of them's been an IC and a US title holder.
Yeah.
And tag team
title. I think all three of them have had those two titles.
Yeah, so I mean, and I think they've all been tag champions.
Yeah.
I know The Miz has, I know Zack Ryder has. Dolph maybe. But both Dolph
wasn't
and The Miz.
Wasn't he a tag champ with Big E?
I don't know if they ever won the tag. Because he was WWE, he was World Heavyweight Champion.
Did he?
And an IC title. Yes, the Spirit Squad.
Okay.
I think they did the Dusty Rule, the Freebird Rule.
Okay, all right.
That,
all right,
so, yeah.
Right, yeah. Okay, so that counts.
Yeah, they've all been tag champs. They've all been IC champs. They've all been U.S. champs. And two of them have been heavyweight champs.
Yes.
So it's one of those things where it's a pretty decent faction if they get the right kind of push. And the thing is, they don't even need to have matches, they just show up and beat people up.
Yeah,
I can and see that. Let's face it, like SmackDown doesn't have the Braun Strowmans on it.
No,
I mean everybody on SmackDown. John Cena's the biggest. Braun Strowman. Baron Corbin's the biggest guy on SmackDown, and they could recruit him.
Yeah, Kane's like really not anywhere right now.
I mean, if you add Baron Corbin to those three. They could just run roughshod. They could be like an NWO or a Nexus on there, just beating people up, saying, "Hey, we're tired of being like pushed aside to the mid card. We're taking it now."
Yeah,
I mean, because that's kind of what Dolph is doing. And The Miz, after he loses to John Cena at Mania, he could get frustrated. Zack Ryder could come back frustrated. I'd like to see a heel Zack Ryder. I mean, he's got a lot of great face.
Yeah, because the last time we saw him as a heel, he was part of La Familia.
And, oh, they can have Curt Hawkins join for a little bit, and they throw him out.
Oh, pull a booty man?
Yeah, he just toss his ass out. That'd be great.
He shows up with their shirt. Hey, guys, I'm with you, too!
And then, like, he just gets a super kick from Zack Ryder. One of you don't belong. So, those are some of our post-Mania theories right now. We'll have new ones next week. Just as the stories develop, we're going to, like, take some guesses. And granted, the Ryder, Miz, Ziggler faction.
That's
me pulling it out of my ass. It's something I'd like to see because I think it'd be a good storyline. I think it'd be something to carry because they could all three have rivalries. You could have one of them going up against Randy, one of them going up against Dean, and then like you said, Zach could turn on Mojo Rawley.
Yeah,
and he could have a feud with Mojo and stuff like that. So it would be really good. You could have them kind of run roughshod. I mean. And you know what? If you do it right, you can continue to Survivor Series to where you have those three, and maybe you add Baron Corbin, and maybe not a 5-on-5 Survivor Series match, but a 4-on-4 Survivor Series match. Yeah. Where you get a Baron, Ziggler, Ryder, Miz versus Randy, Dean, maybe Bray, you know, maybe Luke Harper. I mean, you just figure it out, like, who your top faces are going to be, because there could be trades, because we could send AJ to Raw, and maybe we bring Seth Rollins to SmackDown.
Which would be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Or maybe because I'm losing AJ from SmackDown, which is my favorite show, bring Finn to SmackDown.
I was thinking, like, maybe Finn, but I
don't... Or maybe Shinsuke comes to SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, we forget. Yeah, there could be some call-ups, too.
Yeah, and that's going to be the last post-Mania theory I'm going to think. I think Shinsuke debuts on the main roster at the post-Mania Raw. Or
the blow-up.
Or post-Mania SmackDown, because I think there will be some shakeups to the roster. And I think guys who they call up who are going to be on SmackDown will debut on SmackDown and not debut on Raw.
Yeah.
I'm actually very interested to see the post-Mania Raw just because I kind of wonder how it's going to play out.
Did they announce the draft yet?
No, they haven't announced it. What I'm interested to see how it plays out is that usually, you know, the Raw after Mania, we have everybody on the show because this is going to be the first brand extension post-Mania we've had. In like 6 years, 7 years, something like that. It's been a while.
6 years, because it was 2011, because it was leading into the summer of Punk.
Okay.
That the brand extension kind of just dissolved.
Okay. So yeah, so about 6 years. So I mean, are we gonna have everybody on the post Raw, or you know, Raw and then SmackDown? Because that's the thing, is like I'm more invested in the SmackDown stories.
Oh yeah.
So I don't want to have to wait 48 hours. I'd like to see like the fallout.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah.
Which they could do. It's a 3-hour Raw. So
yeah, they could easily do just, you know, not show cruiserweights.
So what? Oh, speaking of the cruiserweights, I think the cruiserweights would be better serviced if they got rid of 205 Live, because they need to stop separating the cruiserweights from the main roster. Like, no more purple tape. In fact, I don't know, I saw on Twitter, I don't know if it's a redesign of the belt or if it's just an artist conception, but black leather for the belt, and don't make it, you know, it still has the same basic design, but black leather and more color in the center. Because I think you do the cruiserweights a disservice by having them separate from everybody. So get rid of the purple, get rid of the cruiserweight mat on the ring, get rid of 205 Live, and just have them part of the roster.
Yeah. I mean, I could deal with them keeping the nameplates for the matches, upcoming matches, how they have a slightly different one saying it's a cruiserweight match. I could deal with
that. I don't know. I think when you differentiate them, it makes people think they're different. Because how the women's stuff is now the same as the men's stuff. Because when we had separated as the Divas, it made it seem less interesting, less like I didn't need to pay attention to it kind of thing.
Okay,
like
I gotcha.
So I think incorporating them, like WCW had, because they were all a part of the WCW roster.
Yeah.
So I think incorporating them and not having them separate, like, and we could see like an Austin Aries take on a Chris Jericho,
mm-hmm.
or a Neville take on a Kevin Owens kind of thing like that. Because, I mean, Neville proved himself by being the NXT champion.
Yeah, true.
So, I mean, so he was going up against non-cruiserweights then.
Yeah.
So I think having them separate does a disservice to them. And, I mean, you got a three-hour Raw. Cut out some of the useless promos that they have, mm-hmm. and we can have more matches. Because, I mean, on Raw, we get usually two cruiserweight matches anyways, which is about what we got on the old Nitros that were 3 hours long.
Yeah, 2 to 3, something like that. Yeah.
So, I mean, and have some of the cruiserweights join factions and stuff like that. Like, Kidman was in the Flock.
Yeah.
And that wasn't all cruiserweights. In fact, I think he was the
X-Pac only... X-Pac was in NWO.
NWO, yeah. So, I mean, you can have cruiserweights team up with the bigger guys and things like that.
And then Eddie Guerrero just recruited everybody else to try to be in the LWO.
That was great. Eddie Guerrero was the man.
I like the one vignette they had. And they had... That was after he forced Rey Mysterio to join, and Rey was just in the corner just falling asleep. That was hilarious.
Viva la raza!
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're going to end this one. We'll have more post-Mania theories next week as more stories play out and we figure out what we think the WWE is going to do at Mania and then what we think is going to be the fallout on Raw. So as always, good night and watch wrestling. What's up, buddy?